Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. It is our interview segment, and the date today is the 13th of Rabiul Akhir, 1446. Alhamdulillah, our guest is Maulana Salman Fredericks. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi, Maulana.
Alhamdulillah, how is Mulana keeping today?
Alhamdulillah. Well, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. The weather by you, everything is going well, inshallah?
Alhamdulillah, weather is always consistent in PE, always windy, constantly.
Mulana, today we discuss the affairs in Gaza especially. And we know that atrocities throughout the Muslim Ummah continues, but our gaze is currently on Gaza, and because that is where all the oppression is intensifying, and of course we have that which is our blessed lands, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. So Mulana, what advice can you give us today?
Alhamdulillah. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord, sustainer, creator of the seven heavens and earth. We send salawat and salam for his beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you have rightly pointed out, in moments in our lives, we sit in silence and we ponder the passing days of our lives, and we come to realize that our lives, no matter where we live it, in what moment we live it, we find that we are placed in trials and tribulations. And these difficulties and despair that we suffer, the difficulties and despair of this dunya, fade the glitz and glamour of the worldly attractions around us. It doesn't matter how much position a person has, how good his health may be, how much he may be surrounded by those that he loves, we come to realize in those moments of difficulties, in those moments of despair, that everything that surrounds him fades in its beauty. And as Muslims, as the reciters of the Kalima La ilaha illallah, we are taught that faith and deen does not render one immune from difficulty and despair. In fact, we are reminded of its inevitability in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. To those of iman think that they shall not be tested and trialed simply because they have brought iman, because they recite this kalima. And this is a very important notion for us to reflect upon. Sometimes shaitan deceives us into thinking that because I'm engaged in amal al-saliha, I pray my salah, I give my zakah, I do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires of me, that means I must be blessed in every aspect of my life. And that blessing in our perception is a blessing of wealth, it is a blessing of prosperity, it is a blessing of no difficulty. But that is not even the reality. If we look and contemplate on the lives of Ambiya alayhi salam, who devout the entire existence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a mission of da'wah, we find that they were the most trialed. And so, inevitably we'll be tested. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Without a shadow of a doubt, we'll be tested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have tested those before, and Allah shall make known those who are truthful in their faith from those that are false in faith. And for a moment, during these very dark days, these days of great loss and despair, as listeners of Markaz Sahaba, those that follow the ideology of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we must look in those difficult days and days of despair amongst the companions. And whilst the companions have made great sacrifices for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had suffered great loss. Undoubtedly, the greatest loss suffered by the companions was that moment the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left us to. Anas radiallahu anhu says, I have never witnessed a day better or brighter than the day on which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to us. And I have never witnessed a day more awful or darker than the day on which he had left us. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there, of course, the difficulty, the loss that the companions suffered in their lives, the most difficult moment would have been the moment in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed on. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the guidance, he was the warmth, he was the unwavering faith, and a beacon of light in their lives. And a moment came that that light had dimmed, and they had to navigate this world without his physical presence. And in those moments, a sense of disbelief hung in the air, a desperate hope. This was all a terrible dream. The reality was inevitable, and it was undeniable. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the man who had united them, the man who had led them, the man who had shown them the path to righteousness, was gone. In Rahiq al-Makhtum, the famous biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is recorded that Umar radiallahu anhu, during these difficult days, was so stunned by the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had almost lost consciousness. And famously addressed the people and he said, Inna rijalan min al-munafiqin yaz'amuna anna Rasulullah tuwfiya wa anna Rasulullah wallah ma mat walakin dhahaba ila rabbihi kama dhahaba Musa bin Amran ila rabbih. That there are people who claim, who are in fact munafiqun, he says. He says these people are munafiqun. They claim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed on. And he takes an oath and he says, wallah, by Allah, the Prophet has not died, but rather he has left to meet his Rabb, like Musa bin Amran has left to meet his Rabb. Umar radiallahu anhu was in such disbelief at the loss of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Much as you and I today, we are at the loss of the genocide that unfolds after 1 year in Gaza. And it's only in those moments when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reflects his leadership, his maturity of emotion. He says, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Man ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut." One who worships Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he should know Muhammad is no more. But the one who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ever living, should know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never dies. And in hearing these words, Umar radiallahu anhu struggles to his feet. Dear listeners, a year has passed since the start of a full-blown Israeli genocidal campaign against the people of Gaza. For the past 12 months, the world has borne witness to Zionist savagery of an unspeakable level. It's the dismemberment of bodies, the murder of up to 7.9% of the population of Gaza, the normalization of attacks on hospitals and schools, the leveling of most of Gaza's buildings and homes, and the deliberate starvation of people continue. The death of the Prophet ﷺ paralyzed Umar. And the days leading up to the Prophet ﷺ's demise weighed heavy on the companions. And in those days, if you read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those days prior to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passing away were such important days. And in those days prior to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passing on, whilst he's going through the pains of death, whilst he's in severe illness, it's in those moments that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instruct that the army of Usama radiallahu anhu, a young companion, historians write that he was about 16 to 17 years at the time. Usama radiallahu anhu is made amir of an army of in which they are senior companions. And in fact, in the days prior to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is some noise that emanates from the ranks of the companions about the unhappiness of Usama radiallahu anhu being appointed as amir of this jama'ah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite his sickness, despite him having to rest and lay, he gets out of bed to address the companions on the appointment of Usama radiallahu anhu. And he says to them that he is the best of you and his father was the best of you. And the Prophet ﷺ insists that this army of Usama, that they go, that they leave Medina Munawwara and the army is dispatched. Famously, the Prophet ﷺ said during those days, Anfidu Jaysh Usama. In another riwayat, Anfidu Ba'atha Usama. And in those days, when everybody was concerned about the well-being of the Prophet ﷺ, the Muhajirun left Makkah Mukarramah, they left everything behind to make sacrifice for the Prophet ﷺ and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Ansar made a similar great sacrifice for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the Prophet ﷺ, that they would hand over Medina Munawwara to the Prophet ﷺ. But there was no greater sacrifice for the companions in the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in those difficult days when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ill and they're concerned about his health, many companions come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam requesting that he delays dispatching the army of Usama. Radiallahu anhu visits the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this request, and the Prophet says, "Anfidu jaysh Usama." Usama radiallahu anhu's mother comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to intervene on behalf of her son. And she says, O Prophet of Allah, Usama is so concerned about your well-being. He is unable to assist himself, let alone lead an army. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam insisted, Anfidu jaysh Usama, that this army of Usama radiallahu anhu must be dispatched. Usama himself records radiallahu anhu that I visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the Sunday prior to him passing on. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so weak that he could not speak. And I bent down to kiss the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he raised his hands to the heavens, and then he placed his blessed hands on me. And Usama radiallahu consoles himself, he speaks to himself and he says, in this moment I know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making dua for me. So the next day the army of Usama is preparing itself to leave. And by the time of dawn the news reaches him that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed on. And in those days after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chaos and anarchy spreads. The Arabs start rebelling against Islam as the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spreads. And the Khilafah is handed to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And as the first instruction as a Khalifa, as the military head, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu instructs the army of Usama to prepare itself to leave. And senior companions come to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, like amongst them Umar radiallahu anhu, Osman, Sa'd bin Abi Waqas, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah. And they don't tell Abu Bakr not to dispatch the army of Usama. They say, please delay dispatching the army of Usama. And they do this because they say that the Arabs have now rebelled. And Medina Munawwara has become vulnerable. If we dispatch the army, naturally, the enemies immediately around us will see this as a weakness and they will pounce on Medina Munawwara. Now, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu listens to their concerns and their worries. And he understands that they are saying that their enemies surrounding Medina Munawwara, whereas the Romans are in a distant land, they pose no immediate threat to the Muslims. But despite this, he says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي أَبِي بَكْرِ بِيَدِهِ لَوْ ظَرَنْتُ أَنَّ السِّبَعَ تَخْتُفُنِي لَأَنْفَلْتُ بَعْثَ أُسَامَ كَمَا أَمَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَلَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَى فِي الْقُرَى غَيْرِ لَأَنْفَلْتُهُ وَكْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ addressing the concerns, and he says, he takes an oath and he says, if I thought the wild animals of Medina Munawwara would devour me because of its vulnerability, because the army is not there, I would still dispatch the army of Usama as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded us. And if I had thought I would be the only person remaining in Medina Munawwara as its only protector, I would still dispatch the army of Usama radiallahu anhu. Dispatching the army of Usama radiallahu anhu was the last military instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prior to passing on. And it was the first instruction of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as he took on the responsibility of Khilafah. And this incident of Usama is, of course, very famous in the pages of history. Many of us know this incident. But very few of us know where Usama radiallahu anhu was being sent. And Muhammad Ilyas, in his commentary of Hayatu Sahaba Imam Yusuf rahmallahu ta'ala, he says that this place that he was being sent to is Yubna. In some narration says Yubna or Yubna. It was a historical town in Palestine. An historical town in Palestine. And the lesson, of course, for you and I, is this is the dying wish of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the liberation of Asham, the liberation of Philistine. And facing death, that did not deter him, it did not distract him from the mission of liberation. And in similitude, those companions who had suffered the greatest loss in their life, the loss of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passing on his death did not detract him, did not deter them from this mission of liberation. And this is important for us to consider within the current climate. That it doesn't matter how many people pass on, and may Allah SWT accept their shahada. But the death of thousands and the death of the leaders of the resistance will not deter us, will not detract us from the liberation of Palestine. We must remain resolved. We must remain resilient, we must remain determined in the liberation of Palestine, in the liberations of Asham, in the liberations of Al-Ard al-Mubarak. Our faith will be tested with death, but no one's death. The death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not the death, and certainly not the death of the leaders of the resistance, can distract, deviate, or deter us from the liberation of Palestine. You know, of course, the famous hadith reported by Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tazalu ta'ifatun min ummati 'ala ad-din zahirina li'aduwwihim, zahirina la yadhurru man khalafahum illa ma asabahum min liwa'illah hatta ya'tiyahum amrullah." Abu Umama radiallahu anhu reports the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that a group of my ummah will remain adherent to faith, prevailing over the adversaries. Those who oppose them will not harm them except for a few occasions, until the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. And this is such an important statement the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes, with such profound consequences. Of course, Muhaddithun explain that this hadith doesn't necessarily reflect a particular geographical area or a particular grouping. Some Muhaddithun have written that it is the people of hadith, it is people of fiqh, it is the people who are engaged in dawah, and they provided different interpretations to the hadith. On the ostensible words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the companions hear the determination of these people and that they will be assisted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they inquire that, who are these people? Who are these people? And in the context, we must understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was surrounded by his companions. Those who had sacrificed everything, leaving Makkah Mukarramah from the Muhajirun. Those who had given whatever they could to assist the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the form of the Ansar. When they asked this question, O Prophet of Allah, who are these people? The expectations must have been, O Prophet of Allah, is it from the Muhajirun? Is it from the Ansar? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds to neither. And he says, these people whom the Baytul Maqdis, what not Baytul Maqdis? These are the people of Baytul Maqdis. You know, ulama have written, what does Baytul Maqdis mean? Is it Al-Aqsa? Is it the old city? Is it the area surrounding the old cities? And some ulama have written it as far as the places of Haifa and Gaza itself. But we understand it to be that area of Palestine. And Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes these people as people who are resilient, who will prevail over the adversaries. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Sometimes we erroneously think that being on haq means that we're not going to be tested. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded to قل آمن to بالله ثم استقم. Let's say you believe in Allah, have faith, have iman, develop this attribute of iman, and remain steadfast, remain resilient, remain resolved. Our faith demands that we remain resolved and steadfast in our mission. Yet it is but a victory for those of faith and resolve. In Islam, the tests and trials are viewed not as a punishment, but rather as opportunities for spiritual growth and the strengthening of Iman. If we look in the lives of the companions, there's moments where they suffered difficulty, when they seemed overwhelmed. Of course, during the Battle of Ahzab, Allah fondly recalls, فَلَمَّا رَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. During the Battle of Ahzab, when tens of thousands gathered against the Muslims, when they saw that mighty army against them, they said, this is the promise of Allah. This is the promise of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what they faced did nothing but increase them in faith. These are words that is listened that are being echoed by the mothers of Palestine, by the children of Gaza, by the men who sacrificed their lives in defense of Al-Ardul Mubarak. We hear a mother losing a child, a father, his son, a wife, a husband, children, their parents, and what do they say? Fidan al-Quds, Ya Allah, this is our sacrifice of Al-Quds. This is our sacrifice for Al-Quds. 12 months, 1 year, by massacre and genocide of the Palestinian people are being televised. Headless babies, rape prisoners, and distraught women. And these people are a reflection of faith. They are a reflection of faith. They are the manifestation of the verses of Quran that we have learned through the lives of the companions. They represent the best of the Ummah. They represent the best of the Ummah. What the Quran calls true men. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما أحد الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر. From the Ummah, from the believers, they are real men who have proven what they have pledged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proven the metal of their faith, of their iman. Some of them have fulfilled their pledge for their lives, and others are waiting their turn. They have never changed their commitment in the least. There can only be two groups from the Ummah, respected listeners. Only two groups. Those who have given their lives for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who wait anxiously to give their lives for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During the course of this year, in the moments I have been afforded the opportunity to speak publicly, I've never spoken back to Palestine. And in these discourses, these engagements, I've said we cannot dissociate ourselves from the struggle of the Palestinian people. Because while this struggle might be represented by some as a struggle over land, a struggle for nationhood, the truth is that they fight for the preservation of them. A few months ago, we witnessed thousands of Muslims in the United Kingdom being terrorized by the far right. And these far right leaders who have launched these campaigns against the Muslims in the UK have been funded by Israeli think tanks. This is not a single battle. It is not only the persecution of the Palestinians, but it is a persecution of those of faith. Yesterday it was Gaza. Today it is Lebanon. Tomorrow it will be us. If we do not act swiftly in the defense of Islam. Respected brothers, sisters, we cannot allow this moment to pass us by. We cannot allow this moment to pass us by. We cannot and must not disassociate from the struggle of the Palestinians. As the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ demonstrates, we are like a single body. In the words of Malik al-Shabazz, it is freedom for everybody, it is freedom for nobody. And that freedom must be achieved by any means necessary. As the Prophet ﷺ instructed young Usama radiallahu anhu, Amzi al-Ismillah, go in the name of Allah. We too need to move, to leave, to march with resolve and resistance and commitment. Not only to the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa, to the liberation of Al-Ardul Mubarak al-Sham, but to the liberation of every Muslim who faces persecution in every corner of the world. The great scholar of Islam, and I'll conclude on this, Ali ibn Tahir al-Sulami, who wrote the work entitled, the thesis entitled Fiqh al-Jihad, Fiqh of Jihad. And he wrote this work at a time when there was a decline in the Khilaf of Islam about 100 years prior to the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa by Salah ad-Din Ayyubi, when the Romans started to recapture parts of the Levant. And he had noted the weakness in the leaders of the Muslim Ummah at that time. So he writes his work, Fiqh al-Jihad. And in Fiqh al-Jihad, he makes a noteworthy point when he speaks, this concept, this idea of jihad al-nafs and jihad al-akbar, the necessity to have a spiritual struggle. And he makes the analogy of, if one is unable to win the struggle over the nafs, one cannot then expect the assistance of Allah against the enemy. But these works of Ibn al-Sulami inspires the likes of Imaduddin Zangi, of course his son Nuruddin Zangi that follows, who is the mentor of Salahuddin Ayyubi. But his intellectual engagement, his spiritual engagement, conceptualization, and the discourse on this happens 100 years prior to the liberation of Al-Aqsa. And if we do not start engaging in these discourses, these conversations, these engagements, what is required for the liberation of Aqsa, whether it be the physical resistance or the spiritual struggle, if we do not engage in this discourse, 100 years again will pass and there will be no liberation of Al-Aqsa. May Allah SWT grant us the tawfiq to reflect internally, inwardly first, determine how we condition ourselves to achieve the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Antum la alawna in kuntum mu'minin. You will be the superpowers, you will be victorious if you but believe. And there can be no flaw, wa na'udhu billah, no defect in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore the defect, the flaw lies within, it is within us. And it is this inability to reflect true faith. So let us reflect inwardly, internally, understanding what spiritual struggle we must undergo so that we may elevate ourselves in the physical resistance. And let us engage in every platform, every gathering, in a discussion, a conversation of what is required to liberate Al-Aqsa. Because if we do not start with the conversations, the actions will never follow. Allah SWT grant us tawfiq wa akhir da'an alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Jazakumullah khairan to you, Mulana Salman Fredericks. Make dua for us, and we appreciate the nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.